like it when we focus on things like this in the city. So keep on keeping on. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Councilors. Charles Johnson, for the record. It's good to see Commissioner Fritz and Mayor Hales. It's only been, I think, 10 hours since I saw you last. And I look forward to seeing Commissioner Nick Fish maybe come see another view of American Winter at the Hollywood Theater tonight.
7:30.
So one thing that when we talk about regulation and time allotment in the city is we want to be sure that natural habitat and birds gets due attention. But Monday on the 14th floor of the police building, they talked about the 227 suicides in a 27-month reporting period. So I hope we have a facility in the, that the council will remain diligent that while we protect natural habitat, and I thank Bob for being able to get up here and not say Hayden Island during his time at the city council space, preserved habitat is better than urban habitat that's slightly less lethal, that the city council will look at monitoring and reporting on where the time goes. Did we put an equal amount of time into bird lethality and human lethality? I don't think that would really be wise. I think you will do the right thing. My hero, Commissioner Novick, is up there. He said suicides on the Vista Bridge need to stop. And he did what he could to make that happen by putting a barrier that needed to be there long ago up there. But I just want to encourage you to look at maybe through the auditors and the e-file system, having some centralized reporting so that we don't depart from the core values of the city, which is a loving community that values and protects all life, but especially the lives of humans who are most at risk. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
We have one more.
One more? Okay.
Mr. Lightning.
Brief council discussion.
Morning.
Good morning. Commissioner Salzman and Audubon Society like to commend you on your efforts on this research. I hope that you obtain more funding on this research. I think it's very important. And one of the issues that I have is that, as you know, on the windmill farm issues, we have a lot of eagles that are basically being killed by the windmill farms, and I'd like a little more research possibly on that, on possibly ways to prevent that, because as you know, a lot of these are being proposed to be built and constructed, and again, we need to look at research that states how many eagles are being killed, because we need to look close at that and try to prevent that in any way we can. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Great. Thanks. Well, any further council discussion before we...
I'd like to, if I could, Mayor, just ask the sponsor a question. So I understand this is voluntary and we're setting up these guidelines, but I also understand that the city is a big market participant, particularly through our urban renewal districts and TIF, but affordable housing and many other areas where we're a huge market participant. So we've created some guidelines like safety through environmental design. We've worked into some of our criteria. Obviously, thanks to your leadership, Dan, we have the green building standards that we have to meet. Is it your intention that this, over time, gets embedded in either what people have to do, or they have to at least acknowledge that they've evaluated what the cost would be and its impact on the project, so that it gets systematized through what the kind of buildings that we invest in?
The short answer is yes. I think, as Bob Salinger said, this is resolution really is not is really marks the beginning, I think, of an heightened awareness that we're trying to bring not only to those outside of city government who build things, but also to the city itself. And the city always does, I think, pride itself in taking a certain leadership role, whether it's safety through environmental design, green buildings, and I think bird-friendly design is going to be another hallmark of something the city of Portland does. And as noted in the testimony, there's a lot of other cities that are doing things even of a mandatory nature, and certainly that's something I'm prepared to do some more research on and possibly come back to council with that. But we are right now in our comprehensive plan drafts, putting in bird-friendly design policies and guidance. We are working very hard with the public to increase their awareness. So I think the short answer is yes, there's more steps ahead.
Thank you.
Well, if I might follow up on that, actually the resolution says, be it further resolved that the draft central city plan include an action item to explore development standards, design guidelines, educational incentive programs to improve. So I'm curious as to why this is coming in advance of the rest of the package.
I guess I don't have a good answer as to why this is coming in advance of the rest of the package. And if we're jumping the gun a little bit on that, I would ask Roberta Joytner to come up here and maybe answer that question.
Well, I have a follow-up question, too, and that is, who would be doing the development of the design guidelines and standards? Would it be the Bureau of Planning or the Bureau of Development Services?
I think it would be the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, but I could be wrong on that. Let's bring Roberta Joytner up here and hopefully help us navigate this point.
Thank you. I'm Roberta Joytner with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. On your first question, Commissioner Fish, there's also a resolved statement that the city would seek opportunities to incorporate bird-friendly building design and practices into city facilities as well. And the idea was kind of building on the city's green building practices and policies that are in place for city facilities and seeing how we can incorporate this piece into that as well. The design standards and so forth would be evaluated through the central city process, and if through that process it was found to be appropriate and effective in getting the results intended, then they would be incorporated into the standards that BDS would implement. But Bureau of Planning and Sustainability would incorporate the evaluation into our process.
But wouldn't development services be helping to write the design standards?
Yes.
Sure. So I just want to be sure, colleagues, that this obviously is a great project and this as a voluntary program. I'm concerned that the public involvement advisory statement says that there's been no public involvement. That's not actually true, though, because it went to the Planning and Sustainability Commission last year, right?
Yes. The presentation you saw today, actually a longer one, went to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. There was also a presentation to the Design Commission and a forum that was held at the Keene headquarters last June. There were over 100 people there, including a lot of folks from the design community that have participated so far and others. So I think this isn't so much getting out ahead of a package, but it's sort of setting the stage of the council's intent to take the next steps and to do that continued outreach and collaboration with the community, within the bureaus, and to move this forward.
And was the Development Review Advisory Committee consulted?
There are members of the committee that are aware of this. I don't think we took it directly to the DRAC.
Thank you. So when you look at the proposed standards on page 11, there are standards such as at least 90% of exposed facade material from ground level to 40 feet has been demonstrated in controlled experiments to deter 70% or more of bird collisions. It seems to me that that would take a planner, a permit reviewer's time to, if that were to be adopted as a standard, it would take time for somebody to check and make sure that that was actually happening on the proposed building. Is that correct?
It depends how the standards are written and where they were applied. In San Francisco, the standards apply in certain parts of the city, which are close to water bodies and natural areas. They did a lot of work to see kind of where the best types of approaches would be applied, where what that does speak to is a lot of room to look at working with residential neighborhoods and neighborhood associations and getting the word out of what homeowners can do, because a lot of homes are within that gauge, and it wouldn't necessarily be a regulation. It would be working to look at blinds and decals and other things that they could do, as well as what could be done in a more commercial or multifamily residential. Mary, do you have any comments on that question?
Well, I would actually just add that in terms of public involvement and public process, we did a tremendous amount of outreach in advance of putting together this resource guide, trying to involve as many planners, architects, members of the building owner community to try to get them involved in this process so that they would have some ownership and an opportunity to express any concerns. So there has been a fair bit of public involvement in this portion of the process.
Yeah, I'm suspecting it's just that the form wasn't correctly filled out. So that's not my main concern here is about the general fund, there being an appropriate allocation of general fund money to support this work, rather than expecting the development community to pay for the planners who would be assessing it through permit fees. And it's just an issue that I want the council to be aware of, because this is certainly a great document, and the as a voluntary guidelines, the document itself provides a lot of advice to building owners or developers who want to do the right thing. Should it, as the resolution directs, turn into standards which development services has to assess, there's then, I think, there should be a component of general fund support for that, rather than the building owners being responsible for paying those additional fees.
I just want to add,
it's a fair point. I just want to acknowledge that, and I think this council does balance, you know, what is the appropriate blend of general fund versus developer fees in a lot of land use standards. So it's a good point.
You know, if I could just say, we did send out the resolution to all the participants, so they have seen it. We got good positive feedback. People were excited the council was taking this step. Didn't get any negative feedback. And the goal really today was to take the work that's been done to date, which is substantial, and get it out in front of people and promote it. You know, it is voluntary. There's a variety of next steps the city could take, but this is really, the goal is to get this, you know, during migration out in front of everybody, so that this work that's already done is available, accessible, and people know about it. What the next steps would be is a wide open question, and I think if we do go toward any sort of regulatory approach at some point, that should be a new process with public involvement. We made it clear in this process that these were going to be voluntary, and so that's where we're at today, and that's important.
Well, except that the resolution said directs planning to explore development standards in the next step. So I think it's really important when planning is looking at the action items for the Central City 2035 plan to make sure that the development community is involved in that, the timing of that. As we all know, we're climbing out of the recession. Adding more regulations absolutely is a voluntary program, and this is very helpful and encourage folks to get a copy of it and look at what each of us can do in our own homes. If it then becomes a mandatory program that development services and developers are required to adhere to, I think that's a bigger conversation, and I think that's what you're saying.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, right now, all we're asking for is to get these are voluntary standards, and that was a discussion we had with the development community. So I think any further steps, as I said, as with CATS as well, you know, we want this to be supported by the development community, embraced by it. And so any future steps that were taken, we would want them fully invested and at the table. That would be critical to, I think, the success of this.
Thank you.
Thanks. You. Appreciate the follow-up. Good discussion. Any further points? Then let's take a roll call on the resolution, please.
Aye.
Fritz. Well, this resource guide for bird-friendly building design is an excellent document. Obviously, a lot of work has gone into it. And so as a voluntary program for right now, it's going to be very helpful, and I'm happy to hear that the Fulton Pump Station is incorporating these measures. And with the legislative intent that we just discussed, I'm happy to vote aye.
Fish.
I want to thank Bob, Portland Audubon, all of our friends who are here today testifying and doing the hard work on this. This is a great piece of work. We had an earlier presentation last year and got the sort of foundation laid, and it's one of those areas where, you know, until you shine a light on it, it's not something that the broader public is tracking. And when you read the statistics about the number of birds that are dying needlessly and the impact on our ecosystems and then what we can do to remedy that, it's pretty staggering. I'm pleased that you started the presentation with a picture of the new Fulton Pump Station. And just for those of you who might be wondering, why are we putting a new pump station in Willamette Park? It's because the existing pump station is getting to the point of failure, and we're repositioning it. And why do we use a pump station in a system that is largely gravity-driven? It's because if you live on the east side of the river, your water is generally delivered courtesy of gravity. If you live on the west side of the river, we actually have to pump it up the hill to your house. Likewise, whatever you discharge has to be pumped. So that's why we have a lot of pump systems on the west side in particular. Also, the conversation about light really touched me. The gentleman who said that it was interfering with his ability to sleep and enjoy his apartment. You know, we take for granted that noise pollution has an effect on people. I don't think we give enough attention to light. And if you have a home and you have to actually put curtains up to prevent light from coming in, you're being deprived of the use and enjoyment of your home. And it seems to me as we're becoming a denser community, that's an area we ought to be focused on just as much as we are noise pollution and anything that interferes with someone's enjoyment of their home. And finally, since the conversation came up about colors and lights, I thought it was interesting. I took a flight recently down to Los Angeles to visit my daughter, and the lights that they used in the plane were all soft, light blue. And I asked someone why, and they said they'd done some studies, and they found that the softer blue light was easier on people's eyes, made the experience easier and more friendly. And so they dispense with those harsh white lights and other things, and they're going to a different color system, and it's all designed to make you, the customer, feel more comfortable during your experience. This is yet another example of where Dan has taken the lead on something which is going to impact the built environment. And I appreciate the thoughtful way you've approached this, Commissioner Saltzman. And thank you for this presentation. I'm proud to vote aye. Thank you.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Alan Armstrong with MWA Architects for his work on the Fulton Pump Station. I want to thank Bob and Mary from Portland Audubon for all the great work they've done. And as I said at the outset, and I think we just had it underscored in our discussion here, we really are trying to increase awareness and, you know, with voluntary suggestions and guidelines. And that's really, I think, as Alan sort of testified, 3 years ago, he knew nothing about this. Now he's designing bird-friendly buildings. So that's the type of excitement and enthusiasm I'm confident Portlanders will bring to this challenge now that we can provide them some information with indeed what a challenge this is to protect birds from often fatal encounters with our built environment. The supplies, as I said, to the commercial sector and to residential homeowners, too. There's lots of things we can do, and this guide has the suggestions. This resolution brings those together, and then the comprehensive plan is going to bring forward some policies as well. And anything that would be subsequent of a mandatory nature will certainly be subject to thorough public processes and review and approval by this body. So I also want to thank, there's been a lot of excitement in the city on this issue. I want to particularly recognize Sue Thomas from Parks, who installed bird-safe building signs at several community centers to help build awareness. I want to especially thank Roberta Jortner, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Her guidance and enthusiasm is why we are here today. And lastly, I want to acknowledge, due to the federal government shutdown, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was not able to be here today to testify, but they did manage to squeak out a letter on September 30th, right before the closure, basically in support of this, in support of the policies that we're doing and recognizing and thanking Portland for being part of the Urban Conservation Treaty for Migratory Birds. I think we signed that treaty with Fish and Wildlife back in 2003, so they're thanking our partnership in that regard as well. So wanted to acknowledge them. And then finally, just I want to thank Amy True of my office, who has worked very hard on bringing this resolution together. And so thank you all, and please to vote aye.
Hales?
Thank you. Great work, great presentation. I'm optimistic about this when you think back on how the architectural and design community in Portland embraced energy conservation and then environmental design through LEED. You know, we are the national leader in the utilization of those better practices in design. So I think the record around here is that when we learn something, and I did today, thank you, we tend to go ahead and put it into practice and then compete with one another about how well we're doing that. And I look forward to that same virtuous circle coming into play on this issue as it has on other positive and progressive design ideas here in Portland. Nice work. Thank you. Aye. Okay. Good piece of work.
Interesting.